The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. And welcome to The Spirit of Faith with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. To your host of the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio, Pastor John Ward.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good. Jesus is Lord. Whatever you're going through tonight, I want to remind you that God is on your side. Man, there is a lot going on in the world. There's a lot going on in people's lives. But the good news is that if God be for us, who can be against us? And the Lord is on our side. So be encouraged tonight. We're going to get into the Word, and we're going to have a great time tonight. I'm excited about God's Word tonight. I'm always excited about God's Word, but I'm excited that when we go through tests and trials, man, His answer, every answer we need, every promise is in His precious Word. And so tonight and in this season of your life is no exception. If God be for you, who can be against you? And we know who is. Who is a defeated foe named Satan? But God is with us, praise God. And so we're going to rejoice tonight, give God thanks, give God praise. I'm excited about the radio show tonight. So let somebody know. Go ahead and give us a like, give us a share if you're on Facebook. Take our link and send it out on WhatsApp, on however you social media or however you share with your friends, and let folks know. We get new folks listening every single night. I want to apologize very quickly to our audience on Facebook because I started it late. I accidentally put it on my personal page and I had to take it down and start all over. So sorry, we're just getting up on Facebook Live, praise God. But we are live and we are up. So that's the good news. Praise the Lord. I'd love to hear from you tonight. You can email us instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. If you'd like to get on the air with us, all you have to do is send me an email that says Zoom in the subject, and we will send you back a link. Gary will send it to you, and we'll get you live with us, praise God. We're going to have a great show tonight, praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and pray here in just a moment. Once again, I'd love to hear from you. If you have a Bible question, if you have a praise report, if you have a prayer request, I'd love to hear from you tonight. So email us, InStudio101@gmail.com. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get right into the word tonight. Get your Bible ready. We're going to read our foundation text in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 in just a moment. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory and praise tonight. Father, we thank you that you're a very present help in the time of trouble. We thank you, Lord, that even when we get ourselves into trouble, you never condemn us. You don't find fault with us. Even if we need wisdom, we can ask you and you'll give it to us liberally, and you won't upbraid us. You won't find fault with us. You won't say it's our fault that we got into this trouble and figured out ourselves. No, you're right there to help us. You're a good, good father. You're a good daddy. You'll help us no matter what's going on. Even if we got ourselves into the situation, you're the one who will guide us out of it. And so we put our trust in you tonight, and we refresh right now our commitment to trust you. Thank you, Lord, that without faith we cannot please you. But he that comes to you must first believe that you are God and that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And so we thank you tonight, Father, that you always answer our prayers and that you always strengthen and help us through every test and trial. We pray for all of our listening and watching audience tonight. We pray your blessing upon each and every one of the listeners and viewers. Father, we pray that you will answer questions, that you will move by your spirit. We even pray for miracles tonight. Thank you that you are the healer. Even when people mock you, Lord, that doesn't change who you are. You are good all the time. You have chosen the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And we thank you, Father, for this gospel. It shall be preached and all the earth is a witness, and then shall the end come. Thank you, Father, for a flow of the Holy Ghost on our show tonight. Thank you for blessing every person listening in Jesus' mighty name. And we give you praise and glory for it. And everybody in agreement shouted amen. Amen. Do I have an amen in the house?
Amen.
Praise God. My amen corner must have his earphones in his ears. Praise God. Thank you, Gary. So I got a couple emails left over from last week, and we're going to get to those here in just a few minutes. But before we do, let's get into our text tonight. Once again, I'd love to hear from you in studio101@gmail.com. That's in studio101@gmail.com. Let's go ahead and read our text, which is found in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. And it reads, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." We understand that the scripture tells us four times, basically the same scripture, the just shall live by faith. We also understand Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must first believe that he is God and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We understand that 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is required. But here's the deal. When you can see it, when you can understand it, when you can figure it out, there is no need for faith. And a lot of times people miss that. They think that faith is somehow connected with the senses. Faith is absolutely opposite of the senses. Your senses will tell you one thing based on what you see and smell and hear and feel and taste. Your senses are saying this one thing, but then the word of God is saying something different. And this is when we make a decision, I'm going to believe the word and not believe what I feel. I'm going to believe the word and not believe what I see with these natural eyes. For we walk by faith and not by sight. How does faith come? Well, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word there is the Greek word rhema. It's the spoken word of God. And so when we get that word in us by reading, by meditating, by putting that word in our eyes, Proverbs chapter 4, the Holy Spirit says through Solomon, he said, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. Well, there are those that find the word and then those that don't find the word. Man, thank God that we are those that have had our eyes open. Our radio broadcast is primarily for believers. We thank God for those that are not believers, because when you do listen in, you're hearing the word of God. And the Bible says that how will they hear unless there be a preacher? And how will they hear that preacher unless the preacher is sent? We're on the radio show so that you can hear the word of God to feed your faith. And if you don't have any faith, you can receive faith right here on Spirit of Faith Talk Radio. Faith is what causes us to overcome. Faith is what causes us to please God. Faith is what causes us to receive every promise from God. And without faith, we will not receive anything from him. Praise God. But with faith, we can receive everything. Praise the Lord. From God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's go this evening to another place here. I think we looked at this last week, but let's look again. Go to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. This is a time, and really every time in life is a time where we need strength. But when there are a lot of difficulties going on, you need more strength. And when there are trials going on, COVID-19, this pandemic, maybe you're dealing with some financial struggle, maybe you're dealing with some issues with a relationship, perhaps it's a husband-wife, maybe with your children. You know, sometimes children can yield to rebellion. The Bible says that rebellion is in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it out. There are times when in a teenager, you're not going to be able to spank a teenager. A teenager, you have to really pray for them, be an example, operate in the wisdom of God, use your authority, be a strong, loving parent. To help teenagers through those difficult times of rebellion. But you know, you also have to be strong. Many times love is strong. Love will slap you. Love will tell you the truth. Love is not trying to be your friend when you need to be a parent. A parent can be a friend sometimes in the life of their child. However, you cannot be a friend to replace the relationship of a parent. Children need a parent. They need someone who can tell them the truth, and they love them, and they're doing it for a selfless reason because of the love of a parent for that child. That I love you, that I want to help you from making mistakes that are going to ruin your life. And, you know, sometimes they'll rebel against you, but you can't change your position. You have to maintain a strong urge and sense of righteousness and truth and love and consistency, and help those children through those difficult times, and keep praying, and God will answer your prayer. I've seen it time and time again. I remember a few years ago, a young child had run away from home and was gone, I think, for 2 years. And God answered the mother's prayer, brought that child back, and restored their relationship. I remember my heart just melting when I heard this testimony. God will do it, but you and I have to be the parents who love our children enough to tell them the truth. Praise God. Amen. Not try to sugarcoat things or try to get them to be our friend. Yeah, friendship is wonderful with your child, but it cannot be sacrificed with the responsibility of being a parent. Oh, I'm preaching better than you all are saying amen. And our Father is the same way. Our Father calls us friends, but at the same time, as a father, he will rebuke us. He will smite us. He will tell us things that we don't necessarily want to hear. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 that if you are without rebuke from your heavenly Father, then you don't belong to him, because God rebukes and he chastens and he beats every child that he receives. And if you're without chastisement, the Bible says you're a bastard. You're illegitimate. You don't belong to him. Praise God. He loves us enough that he will correct us and chasten us. Praise God. And he does it with the word of God. He doesn't do it with sickness or disease or poverty. No, man, he delivered us from the curse. He's not going to use the curse to teach us a lesson. He uses the word of God. Amen. And we find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that when we are judged, the word judge there is the Greek word krino, which means a condemnatory sentence. Well, we know it can't be from God because Romans chapter 8, verse 32 says that Christ is not the one that condemns, he's the one that justified us. So don't think for a minute that God or Christ is condemning you. No, he's the one that justified you. Satan is the condemner. Satan is the judger. And when he comes to judge you with sickness, with disease, with poverty, he found an open door and he came into your life, then what does God do? He says that when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we might not be a partaker of the wicked or the evil. And so God instructs us with his word in the midst of the situation to bring us out with victory. James chapter 1 verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you find yourself in different tests and trials, knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. God is the one helping us, but it's a cooperation. He is our cooperative. He tells us what to do, and then we have to do it. It's not all of us. It's not all of God. It's cooperative. We have to work together. We have to cooperate with the Spirit of God. The Bible actually tells us in Ephesians 4:30 to not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed until the day of redemption. He is the one who has put his stamp upon us to protect us from the enemy. But if we grieve him, we are now stopping the one who's able to help us and protect us. And again, when we fall and when we miss it, he's not going to condemn us. He's not going to kick us to the curb. He's right there to help us, right there to pick us up. Listen, if any of you have been a Christian more than a few months or years, you have come into a place where you got weak and you fell and you backslid. We've all been there, done that. But God, who is rich in mercy, will reconcile us back to himself through Christ. We have an advocate with the Father when we sin, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation, the atoning victim for all of us. The blood of Jesus will wash us and cleanse us and get us right back into right fellowship with him, with the Father, praise God. And he does it through the blood of Jesus. We have a high priest who is passed into the heaven, who ever liveth to make intercession for us according to the will of God. Jesus is praying for us night and day, just like he prayed for Peter. He said to Peter in John chapter 20, he said, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. But he said, I prayed for you that your faith will fail not. You see, he put the onus on Peter and he said, Peter, I pray that your faith will not fail. And so Jesus is praying for us that we'll have the strength and not fail. But at the same time, we have to use and exercise and develop our faith, because this is the victory. 1 John chapter 5, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Your faith is what causes you to win. Your faith is what puts you over the top. Your faith is what will bring you through and cause the enemy to back up and shut up and stop being able to overtake us. How? Because of our faith, praise God. Amen. Once again, you can get on board tonight, instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. I've got a couple emails from last week that we're going to get to in just a minute. So I hope Ben is listening tonight, because I've got Ben's email here from last week. Rachel. I've got an email here from Rachel Lazarus. We're going to get to from last week here in just a minute. And I got another one from Andrew Jones. We're going to get to your email here also in just a moment. Praise God. But before we do, I think you found Nehemiah by now. In Nehemiah chapter 8, and let's just read verse 10. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. And it says, Nehemiah continued, go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah and Ezra were bringing the children of Israel back into Jerusalem to build the wall and reestablish the holy people in Israel after 7 years years, 70 years rather, of Babylonian captivity. And when they were coming back, they had been backslid. They had been out of God's will. The young men had married wives that they weren't supposed to marry. They had connected themselves to gods and different demons that they weren't supposed to connect themselves to. But they decided, we belong to the Lord. We are the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we're returning unto the land of our forefathers, and we're going to do whatever it takes to come back. And so this particular day in Nehemiah chapter 8, the scribes, they opened up the books of the law, and they began to read the Bible, and they spent the entire half of a day reading the Bible. The people stood up, and they listened to the word of God, and as they're listening to the word of God, they begin to get convicted by the word of God, and they start crying, and all these men are crying and weeping. Is that a bad thing? No, it's a good thing, because they're weeping with repentance. They're saying, we messed up and we need to return to the God of our fathers. We need to return to Hashem, to Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, to the Lord our God. And as they returned to God, their hearts became filled with godly sorrow, and they realized that they had missed it. We see the same thing in the book of James, where he says, you need to turn your laughter into mourning. You need to repent and lament and come back to God. And it's the same thing that they are doing here in Nehemiah. And then he says, all right, now that you've heard the word, now that you've repented in your heart, now it's not time to be sorry. It's not time to sit around and with sackcloth and ashes. It's now time to rebuild. It's now time to build yourself up. It's now time to receive from the Lord. And so he said, shake yourself loose, go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing. This is a sacred day before the Lord our God, a day of repentance, a day of being refilled and recharged. He says, don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You have a contrast here. You've got dejection and sadness, and then you've got the joy of the Lord. And so he said, no longer be sad, no longer be dejected. Why? Because when you're sad, and when you're depressed, and when you're feeling condemned, and when you're feeling guilty, there is weakness. You're not strong when you're sad and busted and disgusted and frustrated and angry, and you feel like you messed up and you keep messing up. No, he said, you got to shake that stuff off of you. Why? Because when you're sad, you're weak. But he said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you put on joy, when you receive the joy of the Lord, you're putting on strength. And that joy causes your faith to work. As a result of your faith working, you'll be filled with peace, and that strength will cause you to overcome the attacks of the enemy, even overcoming these areas where we missed it, and these areas where condemnation has been ruling and depression has been ruling. No, man, we got to get that off of us. We got to get that depression off of us. Praise the Lord. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, go there, please. 1 Peter chapter 1. Remember, when you feel condemned, when you feel convicted, it's really your spirit convicting you and Satan condemning you. It's not God. God has already made you free. God has already judged you by the blood of Jesus. He's already said that you are not guilty. He's already said that I have covered your sins with the blood of Jesus. Your iniquities I will remember no more. I will remove them as far as the east is from the west. They are gone forever in the name of Jesus. That is good news. Praise God. That's why what we have to do is turn our faith loose. We got to believe God. We have to operate in the spirit of faith. I believe, therefore I speak. Well, what we got to speak what he says. Many times our feelings are contrary. Many times our thoughts are contrary. That's why he said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Isaiah 60, I think. And let him turn to me. And he said, I will have mercy upon him, for my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. And so we have to begin to see things the way God sees things. Before we read 1 Peter, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. Write this down if you're taking notes. I hope you're taking notes. This radio show, man, you need to take notes because the Holy Ghost is going to give you stuff. And when he does, it's for you in particular. So write it down so you can go back over it. 1 John 3 verses 20 to 24 in the New Living Translation says, even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings and he knows everything. What does he know? He knows that you have a heart of repentance. He knows that you belong to him. He knows you're his child. He knows that he began a good work in you and he's faithful to perform it. He knows that the blood is stronger than that guilt that's trying to work you over. He knows. And so this is when we have to operate in his knowledge, which is called faith. We got to walk by faith and not by sight. And when you feel guilty and you feel condemned and you feel beat up and you feel, what's the point? What's the use? Why bother? It's never going to work anyways. Those are all lies from the pit of hell. And that's when you got to begin to speak what God's word says. No, I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I'm washed in the blood. I'm walking in the light as he is in the light. And I got fellowship with other believers. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses me from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 verse 7. I'm speaking God's word right now. I'm saying I'm more than a conqueror. I'm saying that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm saying that I'm an overcomer through him who loves me. I'm saying by his stripes, I am healed. I'm saying my God has supplied all my needs according to his riches and glory. I'm calling those things that be not as though they were. And as I begin to speak faith, as I begin to speak God's word, angels are being dispatched to back it up. Angels are ministering spirits that hearken unto the word of God. They are active and they are working for my benefit. Don't you know that angels are ministering spirits who are ministering to those who are heirs of salvation? They are our helpers. And how do we activate and empower angels to help us? By speaking God's word. Psalms 103 says that they do what God says. And when you speak his word in this earth, you are allowing and loosing angels to work on your and my behalf. Praise God. So he says, even if we feel guilty, God's greater than our feelings and he knows everything. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, then we can come to God with bold confidence and we receive from him whatever we ask because we obey him and do the things that please him. You say, well, Pastor, I'm really not doing things that please God. Well, then you need to change. You need to repent. And the way that you do it is by faith. It is all by faith. The only way you can please God is by faith, by taking God's word, applying God's word, acting on God's word. That's how we get saved. We get saved according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's how salvation works. And it works by faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When you hear God's word, you apply God's word, you act on God's word, and then you see the results that come. Praise God. He is always faithful to perform his word, to do what he said that he will do. Praise God. I want to give a quick shout out here to all of those watching on Facebook. Praise God. Let's see. Shout out to you all. If you've never seen our radio show, you can go onto Facebook Live. You can listen to it on Reality Radio 101, but you can also see me in the studio. I have a studio in my home that we developed since COVID all started. And we're live here every Sunday night with you. Our website is spiritoffaithradio.com. That's spiritoffaithradio.com. Many times people ask for our church website. Our church website is wordoffaithtoronto.com. That's wordoffaithtoronto.com. We had an awesome service today. The title of the message was Faith Rejoices. Faith Rejoices. And you can get it for free by going and logging onto our website, wordoffaithtoronto.com, and you can download it under our archives. Praise God. You can actually watch our full service in its entirety. We had an awesome, awesome service today. Praise God. We were actually singing at the end of service, Vicky Winans' song, Shake Yourself Loose. Praise God. And that's sometimes what you got to do is shake that junk off of you, get that depression. I'm going to wash that gray right out of my hair. I'm going to wash that depression right out of my life. I'm going to shake myself loose. Praise God. And that's what we have to do. And we do it by faith. Shout out to Joan, Veronica, Gilda, Janet, Lilith, Veronica, Susan. Hallelujah. Janet. Hello, Janet. God bless you. Nafisa. Praise the Lord. Maria. Hello, Maria. Praise God. She says, Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Sean, God bless you in Arizona, faithful part of our work here in Toronto. Thank you, Jesus. Once again, give me a like, give me a share, let other folks know. We still got 30 minutes left. I'd love to hear from you tonight. If you have a Bible question, a praise report, if you're a first-time listener, I love giving shout-outs to first-time listeners. Don't forget, when you write me, to let me know where you're writing from so we can give you a shout out to your city, state, and country. Praise the Lord. Let's go now. I've been trying to read 1 Peter. So let's read 1 Peter and then we'll go to our emails. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 Peter 1. By the way, I'm reading from my notes right now from today's service, and all my notes are available. You can pull them from wordoffaithtoronto.com. That's wordoffaithtoronto.com. All my notes are available from all my messages, most of my messages. Just scroll down to where you see pastor's notes, and you can download the PDF for all of my notes, mostly scriptures. And that's there for you to help you. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Whom, having not seen, you love. That's talking about Jesus. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice. Underline those two words. Yet believing you rejoice. So what does believers do? Believers rejoice. Because you're a believer, what do? Rejoice. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Paul went on to say, to write the same thing to you indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. We need to rejoice in the Lord always. Believers rejoice. Again, he said, having not seen him, you love him, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice. Faith, believing here is pistis, same word as faith. Faith people rejoice with what? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Back up now. I went too far. I should have started earlier on. That's what I get for not following my notes. I'm on the wrong page here. Go back in 1 Peter 1 and look at verse 5. 1 Peter 1, 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, soteria in the Greek, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You know, even right now, there are some people, because of this election, man, they think their whole world is turned upside down. But listen, it's going to be okay. And God tells us what to do. He says, you greatly rejoice, though now during this season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. So notice, underline here in your Bible, 1 Peter 1, 5 and 6, underline in your Bible, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And he tells you what to do. He says, you greatly rejoice. The answer to going through manifold temptations, trials of any kind, and he said manifold, meaning multiple different ones, he says, greatly rejoice, greatly rejoice. Notice verse 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And so when you're going through difficulty, the answer is rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the joy that is needed during this test and trial is that which will carry you through. And without joy, if you're sad and you're depressed and you're down and you're feeling sorry for yourself and you're having a pity party, you're weak. Man, a lot of times I quote what the Lord told Joyce Myers, and Joyce was having a real tough time. She was feeling depression. She was upset with her husband all the time. She didn't know what to do. She thought her husband was the problem. Sometimes we have that issue. Sometimes, you know, I think, well, I can't be the problem, Lord. It can't be me. It's got to be my wife. She's the one that you need to fix, not me. It's got to be her. It's got to be somebody else. It ain't me. I'm perfect. And yet that is the furthest thing from the truth. The truth is that many times the problem is right in front of the mirror, praise God. And yet we're looking at everybody else that they're the problem. And so she was making her bed one day and she's feeling sorry for herself and praying for her husband. And the Lord said to her, Joyce, Dave is not the problem. And she said, well, then, Lord, who is? Can't be me. And so sometimes we need that revelation. And then the Lord said this to her. He said, Joyce, you can either be pitiful or you can be powerful, but you cannot be both. And if you are sitting around feeling sorry for yourself and you are focused in on the problem and you are being drawn toward the problem, that problem is going to take you down. But if you can lift up your eyes from whence cometh your help, get your eyes off the problem and get your eyes on the answer. His name is Jesus. And then all of a sudden, joy will begin to rise up. As you begin to rejoice in the Lord, you are tapping into the joy of the Lord. Isaiah chapter, I believe it's chapter 8, he says that with joy, we draw from the wells of salvation. Everything we need is in God, but we have to draw it out. How do we draw it out? With joy. With joy. Praise God. Here, I'll give you that verse real quick. It's in Isaiah. Praise God. And he says, with joy, we draw from the wells of salvation. And that is found in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. I said 8, so add 4 chapters there. Chapter 12, Isaiah 12, verse 3. Therefore, with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. You know, I heard somebody say this today. They said they were listening to this pastor, and the pastor was saying so many times people are saying, God, let your blessing come down upon me. Let your blessing come from heaven to me. And the pastor said, no, you're praying the wrong way. The answer is not up in heaven. The answer is within you. And that is the absolute truth. The answer is right there. You just have to release it. We've been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All of the answers are inside your spirit. Unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that's in you. So if you're asking or thinking from God to do something for you, it's not that God is going to bring it down from heaven. It's that heaven, the kingdom of God, is already in your spirit, and through faith you release it. Praise God. Even regarding this election, man, I'm telling you, my spirit is not settled that everything is, that all the dust has settled. Not at all. And so right now we need to make sure we continue to pray, continue to seek God, and continue to speak his word. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Praise God. I'd love to hear from you tonight. InStudio101@gmail.com. Write me right now. InStudio101@gmail.com. If you have a Bible question, praise report. If you're a first time listener, I'd love to hear from you. InStudio101@gmail.com. If you want to join me live on the air, I'd love to hear from you. Email me, put Zoom in the subject, and Gary will flag it, and he'll send you back a link to Zoom, and you can join me on the air. Praise God. We got an email here from last week. I want to hit that one first. I got one more as well, and then we'll go on to tonight's We've got several emails already tonight, but we've got room for you. So if you'd like to email us in studio 101@gmail.com, we get 40 to 60 new listeners every week. I'd love to hear from all my first time listeners. Just give you a shout out. Email me if you're a first time listener in studio 101@gmail.com. This email is from Andrew. Andrew says, how come we hear very little about Jesus's earthly father, Joseph, in the Bible? You would think that he would be mentioned a lot more than he is, considering how much Mary, Jesus's earthly mother, is. When did Joseph die? There is nothing that I can find in the Bible about that. Absolutely. It's not in the Bible, Andrew. If you really want to search history, you can get some books of Josephus. Josephus is a Jewish historian who recorded much information from that early time. But for whatever reason, God didn't feel that we needed to know that. And so it's not in the Bible. We do know that Joseph was a goodly man, that Joseph was a man of faith, that Joseph believed God even more than the priest Zacharias, who was the father of John the Baptist. But technically, Joseph was not the earthly father of Jesus. He was the mother of Mary. Jesus only had one father, and that is God the Father. Praise the Lord. And so there's not much in there. I couldn't tell you why. I don't know. Maybe someone else knows, but I don't know. And I don't know when he died. I do know that he had several children with Mary. Some people, even Catholics, 1.2 billion, believe that Mary never had other children. But that's not what the Bible teaches. And I've even quoted tonight from James, and James is the son of Mary and Joseph and is the half-brother of Jesus. Why half-brother? Because James had a different father who was Joseph, not God. Praise God. So I hope that answers your question, Andrew. If you want more on it, just write us back. God bless you. We call you blessed. In Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Rachel Lazarus. Man, I love that name. My daughter's name is Rachel, and Lazarus was raised from the dead. So that's a powerful name. Here's what Rachel asks. Pastor, some people say that God brings on all of the terrible things in the world. I know that he brought plagues to the nations during biblical times. So if he did then, why not now? Could this be a way for him to have people come to him since we have fallen so far from him and his word? It makes perfect sense to me. What is the truth about all of this? Thank you very much for your response. It's a great question, Rachel. A lot of people have asked that question, and a lot of people think because it makes sense. You know, if God brought plagues back in the time of Egypt and the children of Israel, when God was judging Pharaoh for not letting the children of Israel go out to the wilderness for 3 days to worship him. All God was asking Pharaoh to do was let the people go for 3 days. Then they were going to come back into Egypt, but Pharaoh wouldn't do it. And so God brought 10 plagues upon Egypt, including killing the firstborn. And I don't pretend to fully understand this, I understand number one, that God is good, and that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, which means God does not bring evil. And James 1 also tells us that let no man say when he is tempted, is the Greek word parasmos, which means tried of any sort for evil. Don't ever say that it's God, because God cannot tempt with evil. So it's not God tempting with evil, but certainly God will judge those who refuse him. Do we see that in the day that we live in? No. And here's why. We live in what's called the dispensation of grace. And this is the period of time where the scripture tells us in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God is not schizophrenic. He's not multiple personalities. God is good, period, end of story. God is the blesser. God is the one bringing the blessing. But is there a curse? Sure, there is. And sin is where the curse comes from. And Proverbs tells us the curse causeless will not come. And Satan is the one who is behind the curse. Now, is God going to judge the earth because of sin? Yes. And we actually mentioned that today in our church service, that there is a day coming when God is going to pour out his wrath upon this earth in a 7-year period of time called the tribulation period. There is the first 3.5 years, and then there is the greater tribulation period, which is another 3.5 years or 1,260 days. And during that period of time, God is going to bring judgments, plagues, bowl judgments, trumpet judgments upon the earth. And it will be the worst devastation this earth has ever seen, even worse than the flood during the day of Noah, praise God. And during that time, many will be saved because God is the Savior, not willing that any perish, but all come to the knowledge of the truth. So I understand what you're saying about how it just makes sense that God would still be judging today. But there are a lot of things that will make sense. And this is why we have to have understanding. That's why Paul prayed for believers in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 on, and he says that God would grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling. There are things that make sense that are not God's will. God is not the blesser and the curser. He is the blesser, praise God. Will he judge this earth? Yes, he will. It's coming. But God doesn't want any man to perish. He wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. Praise the Lord. So I hope that helped you tonight, Rachel. God bless you. We love you. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Grace. Grace says, "Hi, I'm a new listener here in Greensboro, North Carolina. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Thanks, Grace. Your name is beautiful, and we're so glad that you're a part of our radio listening family now. We call you blessed. And welcome aboard. God bless you. Another email here tonight from our friend Eric. Eric says, not to get too political here, but the situation down in the States is horrendous. How could anyone who is a Christian vote for a candidate and a political party that favors abortion, gay marriage, hates religion, and has no respect for the flag, language, or borders, or a particular country? Even if you hate Mr. Trump because of what you hear in the mainstream media, he believes in God, believes in what the Bible teaches us, and believes in family and life. So sad down here. I live in Winnipeg, Manitoba. God bless you." Thank you, Eric. You know, Eric, I hear you. I live just outside of Toronto, and here in Toronto and outside of Toronto, there's lots of liberals. And, you know, they'll say to me, they'll say, "Well, how can you stand by a man who's a racist and a bigot and hates women and says terrible things and all this kind of stuff?" You know, men are not perfect. I certainly would not say that Joe Biden hates God or hates the United States, not at all. You know, he claims to be a Christian, Catholic, and goes to church and claims to fear God. But I totally understand what you're saying. Our job as Christians is to understand, first of all, where our loyalty is. Our loyalty is to God Almighty. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that we are ambassadors for Christ, which means that we are representatives of our home country first, which is heaven. The Bible says we are citizens of heaven. And so we are representing heaven here in this land, wherever you may live, whether you're in Russia or Canada or the United States or all the other countries that are in this world, and so many that are listening on this radio show tonight. Listen, God has put you where you are supposed to be. Our job as Christians is to pray. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will of all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." I don't know if Sister Kim is listening tonight, but Kim from Word of Faith in Southfield she posted on Facebook, I think yesterday, and it was so good. And she basically said that I am a Christian and I have prayed for presidents since Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and others, and I'll continue to pray for whoever the next president is, which is not decided yet. I hate to burst some of your bubbles, but it ain't decided yet. And there's a contest going on. Not all the votes have been counted. A lot of the places are still close, and it won't be complete until December when the electors come together and cast their vote. So I know the media is saying that it's a done deal, but man, it ain't over yet. I mean, it might be, and it may go the way that it's going right now. I don't know the future. God does. I'm not pretending to know, but I'll tell you, just out of a personal note, my spirit is not settled on this thing. And maybe it's my spirit, not the Holy Spirit in me, but I do have the Holy Spirit. And I just sense that it ain't over yet. We're going to see some stuff. And so right now, what we need to be doing is praying, praise God. But Eric, I totally get you. I'm with you. No candidate, because no human is perfect, but there are some decisions that should separate the men from the boys. There are some issues that should separate the women from the girls. And these issues are the ones that are important to God, and that is preserving life. And so we have to pick the lesser of two evils, if you will, for lack of a better way of putting it. Praise God. Eric, we call you blessed in Jesus' name. Sorry, I had to get a sip of water here. Another email here tonight from our friend Bill. Bill says, hello from Mesa, Arizona, home of voting fraud. We call you blessed. Well, Bill, we call you blessed too. And let's just release faith right now regarding this the election. Father, in the name of Jesus, I join my faith with Bill and everyone else listening that your will be done. We don't pray according to a political agenda. We don't pray according to man's will. We pray according to your will. And you told us in James chapter 4, we ought not to say that we'll do this or do that on the morrow, but if the Lord wills, we'll do this and we'll do that. So Father, we pray your will regarding this election. We release our faith in it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when it comes to praying God's will be done, you don't pray this way according to regarding healing or regarding your finances or regarding peace. It's God's will for your finances to be blessed. It's God's will for you to be physically healthy. It's God's will for you to have peace in your mind. But regarding tomorrow and regarding this election and regarding other things going on, you need to pray according to James chapter 4. If the Lord wills, we'll do this and we'll do that. So we release faith in it. Thank you, Bill. And I call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend David. David says, good evening. With all this stuff going on in politics, here is a question for you. When the guilty are found out, what does the Bible say about capital punishment? Just asking for a friend. Well, that's another very controversial subject. The Old Testament says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And the New Testament says to forgive every single one. But where it gets a little more complicated is the scripture also tells us in Romans chapter 13 to honor the government, to honor the authority, and to honor the laws. Does the Bible say that capital punishment in the New Covenant is wrong? I don't see it, no. And I see that capital punishment is something that if the government has it as a law, then it's acceptable to God. And I don't see anything otherwise in the scripture regarding that. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for that. We call you blessed, David, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Gail. Gail says, hello, Pastor. I'm a brand new listener from Buffalo, New York. Man, you're right across the border, Gail. I guess we don't always get what we pray for. I will leave it at that. Love your show. Man, we love you too, Gail. And that's not true. We do get what we pray for when we pray according to God's will. I'm telling you, saints, it ain't over. This election is not over. Right now, what's important is that you hold your peace, you keep your faith out there, you keep your eyes on the Lord, and you speak God's word concerning this election, concerning Mr. Trump. It ain't over. it ain't over. There's an old saying that says it ain't over till the fat lady sings. Well, she ain't up yet. She hadn't started yet. This thing not over. You know what the left media is going to do. The media is going to say and do what they want to do, and they're going to twist things the way that they can twist things. But listen, it's too early. We need to keep trusting God and see what happens. So don't quit and don't lose heart and don't lose faith. Everything is going to be all right. You're on the winning side. Praise the Lord. Another email here tonight. Oh, I forgot to bless Gail. Gail, we call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Amy. Amy says, hello, Pastor Ward. I'm a new listener to you from Greenwood, British Columbia. Thanks for your show. Loving it, Amy. Man, Amy, so good to hear from you. Welcome aboard. We call you blessed in the name of Jesus. If you're a first-time listener, I'd love to hear from you tonight. We got about 4 minutes left. Just email us instudio101@gmail.com. Instudio101@gmail.com. Give me a like if you're on Facebook or a share. Let other folks know that you're listening tonight. And when you write in, let me know where you're writing from in Jesus' name. God bless you, Amy. We call you blessed. Another email here tonight from our friend Joe. Joe says, hello, Pastor. Is the Holy Spirit actually God? If not, who or what is it? I'm confused. Well, Joe, you're not confused, and we'll straighten you out right now. It only takes about a second. If you got your Bible, go to the book of Acts, chapter 5, Acts 5. And we're going to see the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And when Peter was really releasing judgment upon them, we see what he said in Acts chapter 5, verse 4. And it says, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own authority? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied unto men, but unto God. And who he was lying to, if you back up to verse 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? And then he says, you've not lied unto man, but you've lied unto God. So right here, he tells us that the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, ghost and spirit are synonymous. They're the same thing. So he said, you've lied to the Holy Spirit, you've lied to God. So God is God the Father, he's a person. God the Son, Jesus Christ, is a person. And God the Holy Spirit is God, he is a person. So they are three persons in one Godhead. Three individuals, you can call them God together collectively, or you can call them God individually. They are all God. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that, Joe. We call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Shane. Shane says, hello, Pastor. Does the Bible say anything about cremation? A family member of mine wants to be cremated when they die, and I'm not sure that it is a Christian thing to do in God's eyes. What is the truth about that request? Great question, Shane. Well, you can go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and verse 7, write that verse down, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7. And it says, then shall the spirit return to, I'm misquoting it. I'm trying to quote it. I gave you the right verse, but I'm misquoting it. So let me turn there real quick. Ecclesiastes, hallelujah, my Bible program just crashed, so I got to open it back up. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. Thank you, Jesus. Bear with me 1 second. And it says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So at the end of the day, the dust is going to go back to the earth. So whether you cremate it and it goes back to dust, or whether you put it in a box and over a period of a few hundred years returns to dust, it's going back to dust. It doesn't matter. There's nothing wrong with cremation. There's nothing wrong with burial. You know, Jesus even said, let the dead bury their dead. We're not worried about the dead body because it's just the body. But the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When a believer believer dies, or even an unbeliever dies, they don't stay in their body. They leave their body. They either go to heaven to be with the Lord, or they go to hell to await judgment, which is called the white throne judgment. Praise God. Hope that helps you, Shane. We can certainly get into more of that. Just write us back, and we can get more into that next week. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Linda. Linda says, hello, Pastor. What are the main essentials of beliefs of Christians? I have heard so many different answers over the years. Just thought I would ask you. Thank you for your explanation, Linda. Well, first of all, Linda, you can go to our website, wordoffaithtoronto.com, wordoffaithtoronto.com. Of course, our radio website is spiritoffaithradio.com. But on our website, you'll see the tenets of faith and what we believe. Very simply, the belief of being a Christian is this simple. Jesus died on the cross. He was raised from the dead. He is alive right now. And if you believe in him, he will come into your life and he will save you, and you will pass from death unto life. You receive eternal life through Jesus Christ. And then there are a lots of tenets and beliefs in the Bible. Basically, you can sum it all up in love. And Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. And so that's just kind of a start. Write me back next week and we'll get more into it. Last email tonight is from our friend Rita. Rita says, loving the show this evening. Thank you very much for teaching all of us the word. It's a wonderful gift, Rita. Thank you, Rita. We call you blessed tonight, and everybody else listening, we love you so much. Such a privilege to be with you every Sunday night. Until next week, check out our website, spiritoffaithradio.com, wordoffaithtoronto.com, and we can't wait till next Sunday night. Until I am with you next week, remember that God is exalted, the devil is defeated, Jesus is Lord, and keep fighting the good fight of faith.
Thank you for listening to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101.